Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
All right, welcome in. It's a July 5th edition, a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. And you know Thursdays, Lee Kelly is with me in studio, always fun. And Lee, you and I have spent the last couple Thursdays that you've been in talking with area high school basketball coaches. We talked a lot in June, a slower time, about what went on in the month for high school programs building for the future. Of course, we're still a long way away from the start of the season, but June did give everybody the opportunity to kind of just see where you're at and see who maybe can help you at the varsity level and how maybe you're going to play this group or this group together. And I think coaches, after a long month of summer league games and team camps and workouts and practices, now can get back into open gyms coming up when school resumes. They will be able to practice 2 days a week this fall. That's something that's new. But get back into the more off-season type mentality and let their kids go out and play the travel ball, the AAU ball in July and do the other things. But we got a good sense of where the teams are at. That was a lot of fun. And now we get a chance to kind of do the same thing with high school football. And that season, of course, Lee Kelly, is just around the corner.
You know, they've made some changes to basketball that you just mentioned. Have there been any changes made to football about certain things they can do to increase their season, do different things? I don't know the answer to it. I've looked online through the IHSAA minutes to see if I see anything. Really didn't see much, but that really doesn't mean it didn't happen. It just means I didn't see it. But it's an exciting time for football. We've got some coaching changes. We've got some good people that we're going to be talking to, not just here on the show, but we've got a special coming up that we'll be telling people about, where you'll find out about all eight of the teams in Clark and Floyd County. So excited about the football season, excited to see who steps up as a star for the local area, which young coaches step up and do a great job in their first year or second year, whatever it might be.
And you touched on it, Lee. The plan every Thursday from here until the start of the season is to bring on an area high school football coach, Clark and Floyd Counties, and we're going to have our first today. We'll tell you who that is in the guest lineup in just a moment. But leading up to that, these interviews each Thursday when you join me will lead up to the Zaxby's High School Football Kickoff Show, which will be held at the Zaxby's location in New Albany, right at Charlestown Road and Interstate 265 in early August. We'll be giving you the date very soon, but we're going to invite fans to come out. All the area coaches will join us. We're also asking coaches to bring their key one or two players with them to join us on the air that night. But we are planning, you and I, two-hour special show, of course, with Zaxby's, who's been a long-standing big supporter of high school football and high school sports in general on the Big X, and we look forward to telling you more about that soon. But our interviews on Thursday with the coaches, kind of a build-up to that, and then that season obviously will be here right after our Zaxby's kickoff show takes place. So that will be a lot of fun. Let's look right into the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us today, Lee and I have some news of the day, some headlines here in the first segment. Then we will have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Alex will be with us in segment number two. Then we'll have our first high school football coach, a coach that I know very well, Larry Dennison of Providence, will join us to kick things off this week, talking some high school football, talking about his team, talking about what he's seen this summer. We'll ask him, you know, what we talk a lot of basketball. I know that on this program, and it will always be that way on this program. But we'll ask him what all they've been up to and maybe what new opportunities, if any, have changed on the football side of things, as Lee mentioned a few moments ago. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. If you mention the Hoosier Report, you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, Lee, we'll be back together tonight. Tom Wendt will join us. We'll be at the New Albany Little League Park, new park, beautiful park, first class, for a championship game. It was scheduled for Tuesday, postponed because of weather and field conditions to tonight. It's an 8 o'clock first pitch. We'll be on about 7:55, and it's New Albany against Floyd's Knobs in softball, and it's the major division. That's the main division of Little League. The winner from this district championship game will go to Elkhart later this month and play in the state tournament. And of course, the winner of that gets the opportunity to go represent the region, which is just one step away from that point, from the Little League World Series on the softball side of things. So just like the baseball division that goes all the way to Williamsport as 12-year-olds, that's the game we'll call tonight. Always fun to be out there. Little League has been kind of a unique area for us. We went into it a number of years ago, not sure what the listening audience would be like, but we knew it would be good for the community, and that was the main thing. We just wanted to get the games on the air for the young kids and also for the parents and families to be aware of a station that was growing in its high school sports coverage, as those kids, a lot of them, will go on to be your next high school baseball and softball players. With that being said, as we follow teams from the district to the state tournament, we've just had some unbelievable numbers hitting our stream online, listening locally, of course, on the radio, and we've just kind of grown with it and continued it, and something that some people may think, I have no interest in a New Albany Floyd's Knobs Little League softball game tonight. Trust me, there are plenty of family members and other people that will be tuning in, especially once they get out of town. And we do follow some of those baseball winners on a regular basis out of town. So we'll be fun. You and I and Tom have had a ball with it. Championship game, it's not on the level of a sectional that you may have called or state championship games that we've called over the years, but it means a lot to those kids and those families, and it's kind of a building block for those kids maybe down the road to get to a real state championship game, a high school state championship game, a game in their high school career that matters a lot, with a lot more people in the stands and a lot more on the line. So it's been really fun over the years to cover. I think it's really helped the station grow its local listening audience. And most importantly, you and I and Tom have just had a blast watching all this unfold now for a number of years.
You know, and I think we approach these games the same way we approach the games at the sectional regional level in basketball or whatever it might be. Because one thing, as I look at these young people line up for the starting lineups before the game, I realize there's a large number of them that I know mom and dad, probably know grandma and grandpa. So I don't want somebody coming up and cuffing me on the back of the head and going, hey, you can work a little harder here trying to do this game, for one thing. But I really enjoy it. It's a pure part of athletics. They're playing for the sheer fun of just enjoying playing softball or baseball or whatever sport it might be. And we have a lot of fun with it, look forward to it, glad the station does it. It's just a lot of fun. And with podcasts now, if they miss the game, they can go back and listen. So kids that play can go back and listen to that home run they hit or that key single or that running catch they made. And I think it's all very important to the good things that happen in our area.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at the Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. A couple things. NBA Summer League underway. I have not had an opportunity to tune in yet, although the big league out in Vegas begins tomorrow. That's when things will really heat up as far as summer action go. A couple updates. Robert Johnson has only played in one game thus far for Atlanta. That was a game on Tuesday. He played 14 minutes. In those 14 minutes, he had 4 points and one rebound as Atlanta was defeated by the San Antonio Spurs. Christian Watford, and again, there's some small activity going now, one out in Utah, one in California. Christian Watford has not played in either of the games for Memphis. the rest of the summer league teams with IU connections don't play until the Vegas League, which begins tomorrow. So we'll have more updates kind of following some of the guys with IU connections trying to get to the league or maybe trying to stay in the league. Speaking of the summer league, Thomas Bryant, we knew he was waived by the Lakers over the weekend. He was picked up fairly promptly by the Washington team earlier this week. He has been added, as expected, to their summer league roster. So Thomas Bryant will be in action in Vegas with the Washington Summer League team. One other note, recruiting. We are days away from the first evaluation period for coaches. We have talked so much about this already, and we'll continue to update you on where the IU coaches are at, how the targets that IU is most interested in are performing. We've got some interviews set up from people that will be at the tournament, so that will all be forthcoming once the action gets underway. But kind of a final look at the spring and the early part of the summer. Rivals updated their 150, their top 150 rankings for the 2019 class. I've tried to update you as ESPN and the 24/7 composite rankings have been updated as well, but it's just amazing to me the number of players in the top 150 that Indiana is not only involved with, but has offered scholarships with. And if you look at the names, a lot of these names are names that popped up on the radar really basically after Archie Miller accepted the job. So we're getting to a point where Indiana now has been recruiting some of these key 2019 players for a number of months. At the top of the list, Matthew Hurt up in Minnesota. He is number 5 in the Rivals 150 for 2019. Isaiah Stewart, we talked about him some earlier this week with Jason Delaney, the coach at Cathedral, who also coaches the Indy Heat team. He's up number 6. He increased 4 spots in the latest update of the 150 rankings from Rivals. Trendon Watford, obviously a name that Indiana tracking his every move, given his connection to the program through his brother. He's number 14 in the rankings. Keon Brooks moved up 4 spots. He's now number 15 in the country. Oddly enough, right behind Keon Brooks is Trace Jackson Davis. So two Indiana guys back-to-back in the top 150, in the top 20 as well, I should say. Trace Jackson Davis is number 16. He moved up 6 spots as well. So Brooks and Jackson Davis, key players in our state in the upcoming senior class, but obviously making some big noise on a national level as well. DJ Carton, he recently took a visit to IU, an official visit over the weekend. He's up number 17. He moved up 13 spots in the most recent rankings from Rivals. And I'm not going to continue on, but there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 other players in that top 150. A handful of those Indiana has offered scholarships to. A handful Indiana is just beginning to track and recruit. But a number of players that Archie Miller has this program highly involved with. The first evaluation period will begin on Wednesday, July 11th. The big key event where I would expect Archie and his staff to spend a lot of time will be the Nike Peach Jam down in Georgia. That's where the Indy Heat team with Brooks and Jackson Davis, and I think Isaiah Stewart is playing with them in July, and a number of other prospects as well. But that will be the key team, I would think, that you would see IU following this summer. One other headline, Chris Lemonis, outgoing IU baseball coach, who is at Mississippi State now, always thought he was really classy as IU's coach. He obviously had a lot of success with IU baseball when he was in Bloomington, but he did write a letter, a thank you letter to IU fans, not only from him, but his family as well. I'm not going to read it for you verbatim. It's available online, but very classy move for him to do that. Now that the dust has settled, Indiana has hired a new coach. He obviously wishes the new coach well, but just a classy move by a guy that we wish the very best to moving up the ranks in college baseball at Mississippi State. That's a look at the headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. The Hoosier headlines are presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill. It's where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Lee and I at the ballpark tonight, 8 o'clock, the first pitch. It's New Albany and Floyd's Knobs in Little League Championship softball tonight. Look forward to bringing you that. We have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall coming up in the next segment, presented by CC Power Sports. We also will be joined later, our start of the high school football preview stuff begins with Larry Dennison of Providence, all coming up later on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Each Thursday, we get the opportunity to hear from Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. CC Power Sports has two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. It's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store, right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County, they carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course, racers always welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, the middle of the off season, plenty of to talk about IU basketball, however, is normally the case. And I tell you what, you know, Romeo's the headliner coming in for 2018. There's no question that he's the man as far as fans go that's drawing a lot of attention to this program. But other newcomers that I think fans are really interested in, I get a lot of, hey, ask Alex or ask so-and-so about this player, and it's Evan Fitzner. And now that he's on campus and now that the IU social media, basketball social media, which has just been great, put the video of him out just stroking some baseline jump shots the other day, I think fans excited to know that there's a big guy on campus. The big guy can shoot, he can dunk, he can take it to the rim, he's very versatile, and fans excited about what he might bring to this team for next season.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing about Evan Fitzner is he's experienced, he can shoot. It's not just the video that we have that is obviously edited by IU to make it look as good as possible. We can also point to the fact that he's played, I believe, 105 career games at St. Mary's, and he's a 41.3% three-point shooter. You know, looking back at last year's team, they could have used a guy that could shoot that well from the perimeter. And, you know, the fit with him, I think, is if you put him on the court with Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford, defenses are going to be keyed on those guys, and so he's going to be able to spot up in different situations. He's proven that he can not only catch and shoot the ball, he can catch and put the ball on the floor a little bit. I did a breakdown, I think, earlier in the offseason. He's really good at catching the ball at the three-point line. If someone's closing out quickly, you know, stepping in, taking two dribbles, and pulling up for a nice mid-range shot. He just has a really good feel for the game. He's not someone that's going to blow you away athletically or by finishing above the rim. But, you know, in a lot of ways, I think Indiana fans should hope that he pans out similar to what, you know, they saw a couple of years ago when Max Bielfeldt came on for a, you know, for a grad transfer year, a guy that is really experienced, a guy who knows how to play the game, is a leader in the locker room, and can just help you win games, make you a better team overall. And so I think that's really the reason. Those are the reasons to be excited about Evan Fitzner.
Between the new players coming in, certainly Romeo included, Fitzner as well, but I am excited to see who in the heck starts for IU and who are the first players off the bench, because there were a lot of players last year that are back for their second year, third year, whatever it might be, that had an outstanding game or two or three. They just weren't consistent. So those players with another year under Archie, another year of training and weightlifting and nutrition and so on, who's going to get the minutes, and boy, what is that going to look like, that first seven or eight players for the Hoosiers?
Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I mean, there's 14 guys, I'm looking at the roster, that are going to be guys you would probably consider to have a chance at earning minutes, the 13 scholarship players plus Zach McRoberts, who by my estimation was one of IU's three or four most valuable guys last year. I don't think he's coming back for another year to just move aside for letting these new guys just take minutes from him. He's going to be a guy that battles, and I know he's got some things to work on offensively to continue to play as much as he did. But, you know, you're right. I mean, there's 14 guys legitimately battling for minutes, and how many are going to play on a given night, eight or nine? So it's either going to be, you know, there's going to be some unhappy guys, or there's going to be some guys that have to get motivated to get better to try to get on the floor, because I think those last couple spots in the rotation are really up for grabs and could change on a game-to-game basis. I think that's one of the big things that's going to be different. Obviously, the talent's going to be better this year, but last year there's a lot of cases where, you know, I think Archie Miller and the coaching staff were searching for answers of who to put in the game. You know, there wasn't always an option down the bench. I mean, they had to roll with some of the guys that they had, maybe longer than they would have normally if they had better options to maybe go find somebody on the bench. This year is not going to be like that. You know, if somebody comes in, they're not playing defense at the standard that's expected, you know, you just go find the next guy on the bench. The bench is now lined with, you know, four-star players. Obviously, you got a five-star talent like Romeo, but the talent upgrade going from last year to this year is substantial. It's going to be pretty fascinating to watch to see how the minutes are earned and distributed.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our guest. This segment each week is presented by CC Power Sports. Depth and multiple options at the same position is not something I can remember IU having in a number of recent seasons, can you?
No, not to this level, at least on paper. I mean, you look at really the thing about college basketball right now, unless you have a super team like Kentucky had a couple of years ago, most teams are only playing 7, 8, maybe 9 guys at the most. And even at the end of this bench, I mean, I would have a hard time kind of projecting who would even be in the rotation at this point beyond like the top 4 or 5 guys. Because, I mean, you can just go down the list. I mean, Clifton Moore is a guy who I know they're still excited about because he didn't, you know, he didn't do a whole lot last year, but he's put on, I think, 25 pounds since he got on campus last summer, and he's shown some strides this offseason. Race Thompson, Jerome Hunter, Denise Anderson, Jake Forster. I mean, just go down the list. All these guys, if they went most places, we're going to have a chance to play early on, and they're going to be fighting it out. So to answer your question, no, I don't really remember. Even going back to those really good teams that Crean had, that was kind of one of the things that kind of set those teams back. They didn't really have great, great depth behind their really good players. I mean, they had 5 or 6 studs that they could throw out there, but beyond that, there wasn't a whole lot of depth. So I think this is going to be one of the deeper teams in recent memory at IU.
Alex, I do want to, here in the middle of our conversation, take a break for just a second and let you tell us details about something that I really enjoyed, and that was a podcast that you and Jared Morris did recently with the 1976 IU National Championship team, a closer look at how good that team really was, and it was a job well done by you and Jared.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had my dad on, because he was there at IU during that time, covered the team as a student reporter, the 75 team, and then he actually, after his first year out of college, covered about 2/3 of the 76 team. And one thing we wanted to do is, I think sometimes us younger fans that didn't get to see that team, you know, we hear about how great they are, but we don't get to go back and watch the videos, really. If we do, it's grainy video. There's not, you know, there's no social media archives from back then. I mean, you can just read the newspaper stories, but I wanted to bring on somebody that saw it firsthand and was able to kind of explain to us what it was like being around those guys, watching that team develop, and just kind of get compare and contrast what it was like in journalism specifically from those times to now. And so it was a really fun conversation. We've gotten a lot of good feedback on it. I mean, this is really a time of the year where there's not a whole lot going on. So Jared and I are going to continue to try to think out of the box and, you know, maybe do some other things where we look back at old IU teams and just talk to people who were around during those days and get a better feeling for a lot of those moments. Because, you know, right now as IU as a basketball program, people are excited about the future, but it's always good to look back on the past. And the 5 national championships are what makes IU a special program, and I think people still care about those. And so we wanted to go back and talk about that team and get some more insight and details on it. It was a lot of fun.
Got to go back and listen to that podcast. I've added that to my to-do list now because your father, Rick Bozich, has one of the most amazing memories for events like this ever. So I've got to hear what he's got to say about that 76 team. Looking forward to it. One thing.
Yeah, it was funny. We were talking to him and he was like citing games that they played like in sequential order from those seasons, and like they played so-and-so on a Friday and a Sunday, and then sure enough I pulled up the schedules on Wikipedia as he was talking. I was like, he's got this memorized, so I hope he passes along the gift of memory to me, because I'd sure like to be able to have be that sharp that late in life.
He is amazing, I'll tell you. The Indiana basketball schedule getting a little clearer now. We've added Arkansas to the mix and a couple of other teams. What about the schedule? What about adding Arkansas? Good thing, bad thing, middle of the road SEC team, but they play pretty good basketball at times.
Yeah, and that's a tough place to play, no matter how good Arkansas is. And I've never been there before, but talking to my dad, talking to other people that have covered games there, I mean, there's been some really, really good Kentucky teams that have had problems going down there winning. I don't think Arkansas is bringing back a whole lot. They did bring back their stud big man, who I think a lot of people were surprised he came back, had a really good chance to be maybe a first-round pick, even higher. He decided to come back, but I think they're adding something like 10 new players. But anytime you can play a Power 5 school in non-conference instead of a Savannah State or a Mississippi Valley State, in my mind, that's a good thing, whether it's Arkansas or you know, whether you know it's another team from a different conference. As long as they're a Power 5 school, it's not really going to hurt you in terms of your RPI at the end of the year. And that's going to be part of a four-game exempt event that Indiana is going to play three other teams as a part of that in Assembly Hall, some lower-level, lesser-name teams. But the schedule is really starting to fill itself out now. I think there's only two or three non-conference games that we don't know about to this point. It's going to be a really good schedule. I mean, Indiana is going to play Louisville, obviously. They're going to play Butler. They're going to play Duke. They're going to play Marquette, and they're going to play Arkansas in the non-conference. And that's before 20 Big Ten games. So it's going to be a fun schedule, a lot of interesting challenges. I think getting those tests early is going to really give this team a litmus test to where they are, and then we'll see how they improve as the season goes along.
Alex, it's been noted by you and others, and even in the written accounts of the addition of the Arkansas game and the other games that are associated with that event, that it's an exempt event. I'm familiar with that term as far as the high school season goes. There are certain things that are exempt, like the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame Classic from counting as games played. There are some exempt tournaments where you get counted for two games but might get as many as four games. Is that pretty similar to what that exemption means in college basketball with one of these events?
Yeah, it's very similar. I mean, every year, basically every school plays in an exempt tournament. It's just a way of getting four games on the schedule. I mean, when Indiana goes to, say, Maui, you know, there's only three games in Maui, but they'll play, like, another game as part of the Maui Invitational at home. It's a kind of just a campus game. It's not really publicized that way, but every year, it's kind of it's how it works in college basketball. They have these four-game exempt tournaments, and usually there's these scheduling companies that put these things together, especially the smaller events like this. I mean, it's not common that you would see two Power 5 schools playing like this in an event like this way. I mean, Maryland's got a similar event, and they're having three schools as well, but four other schools are going to play, but they're all going to be at home, and they're all lesser-name schools. It's similar to what Indiana did last year with the Hoosier Tip-Off Classic, where they had four games that were all in Assembly Hall, and it was all kind of lower-level opponents. So it's kind of an added bonus for getting Arkansas on it this year, and then the good thing about it is they'll get a return game next year in Bloomington, so that'll kind of beef up the non-conference home schedule and give fans something to look forward to.
The state of college basketball, pretty good shape right now. A lot of information out there, at least here in our part of the country. It's basketball season year-round. But overall, the NCAA Division I schools, everybody improving, getting better. The attendance is going up. The money coming in is pretty good. And they're on safe, solid ground. Is that fairly safe to say?
Yeah, I mean, I still think you've got the rain cloud looming out there with the FBI stuff. And we don't ever, people ask me, I did a mailbag earlier this week, and someone asked, is the fact that there's been no information coming out on that, is that a bad thing or a good thing? And the thing you have to remember about that is federal investigation. There's not going to be, in most cases, any leaks of information. So I would not assume that since nothing has gone on lately that that's completely over or done with. There's going to be more, I think, to come from that at some point. Hopefully it's not in November when the season's just getting started, because you hate to see from a PR perspective the sport being hit like that from a national perspective, because there's only a few communities around the country like this one where people follow the sport 365 days a year, and a lot of casual fans that may be the last thing they remember from the season is the FBI stuff. And you hope it comes, if there more information is going to come out, you hope it comes at maybe a downtime where it doesn't overshadow the start of the season like it did last year. Remember when it happened in September and then everyone was talking about it pretty much throughout the season. I felt like it overshadowed the season. So hopefully that's not the case again when more information does come to the surface, which I'm pretty sure it will.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, always presented by CC Power Sports. Very quickly before I let you go, we noted earlier today the new Rivals 150 is out. Always interesting, you know, not that I put a lot of stock in player rankings, but always interesting to see what the perception is, especially on players from our state. And I'm always curious and have asked a lot of people on this program, if you're Archie Miller, would you rather get Keon Brooks or would you rather have Trace Jackson Davis? But I also know that those players are both getting better, and there's a lot that can change even in a number of months with their games and projections for the future. But one thing that struck me about the rankings, Keon Brooks number 15 in the country, Trace Jackson Davis number 16, both moved up. I think Trace Jackson Davis maybe the biggest riser of the two with six spots of an increase. Keon Brooks up four spots. So on a national level, just as Indiana fans becoming more and more enamored with these two to see what their future looks like, on a national level, these guys are getting some good attention and continuing to move up and increase their stock as well.
Yeah, not only those two guys. I mean, Armon Franklin and Brandon Newman are both in the Rivals 150. So overall, this is, I think, Mason Gillis, actually, the kid that committed to Purdue. So any year you have in the state where five kids are ranked in the top 150, I'd say that's a pretty strong showing by the state, and just kind of tells you what high school basketball, the talent level overall is in the state. But those two guys specifically, I mean, you know, it doesn't seem like anything's imminent with either one of those guys with their recruitments. There's nothing I would say to be alarmed about or worried about in terms of them not being committed yet. I think Indiana's done as good a job as anybody on both of those kids. And I think when the time comes for those guys to make their decision, Indiana's going to be right there. Now, is it possible that other schools are going to jump in after July, depending on what happens, how these guys play, maybe at the Beach Jam or other events? Absolutely. But I think Indiana's done a ton of groundwork here and kind of gotten themselves in as good a position as you can right now, and that's really all you can ask for going into the fall when official visits start, and that's when things will really start to heat up.
Stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Summer is here, so visit CC Power Sports and let the fun begin. Alex, hope you had a great 4th of July. Thanks for joining Lee Kelly and I today, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back, and after we did a way too early preview of the high school basketball season the last couple weeks, now we jump into something that might make a little more sense. It's the talk about the high school football season, which is less than, I think, maybe just over 40-something days away now from the first Friday night lights here in Southern Indiana. We're going to do so today with our first coach, Larry Dennison of Providence, will join us when we come back after the commercial break. We'll talk about the Pioneers, what Coach Dennison has seen in the offseason, and what maybe he expects for the area next year as well. So stay with us for that coming up here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back and excited to talk a little high school football in Southern Indiana today over the next few Thursdays. Actually, we're leading all the way up to the start of the regular season. Lee Kelly, who is with me today in studio, and I will be talking with the area high school football coaches for a chat about how their summers have went and what they are expecting generally for the 2018 high school football season that is just around the corner. And then, of course, this will all culminate in early August. We will have the Zaxby's High School Football Kickoff Show. Lee and I will invite all of the head coaches and all of the top players from the area to join us at Zaxby's in New Albany. We'll give you the date and time very soon for a two-hour preview show to really kind of dive in and kick off the season for 2018. As far as on these Thursday segments, our first coach of the year joining us is Larry Dennison. He's the head coach at Providence High School. Coach Dennison entering his eighth year as head coach, and of course he was a longtime assistant coach under Gene Sartini, a legend in high school football in the state of Indiana. Coach Dennison, June, both very busy months as far as the development of a high school football program goes. What have the Pioneers been up to so far this summer?
Well, thanks for having me on, Matt, but summer's been going very fast for us. You know, anymore with this balanced calendar that we follow with schools, you know, you're really limited to about 8 weeks of summertime, and then you throw in the IHSA mandated dead week, so-called, but which we're doing right now. But so you're really kind of limited on time for the summer, what you used to be you know, when you had the entire summer and two-a-days and everything. So you're busy trying to cram a lot into a short amount of period of time. And this month of June, we've also been trying to deal with the heat as well, and that's been going to be an issue again throughout July as well. We've been going kind of breaking it up a little bit, going in the mornings on a couple of days a week and going in the evenings in a couple of days as well. But, you know, with the turf field that we've got, as great as the turf field allows you to do things without tearing up your practice fields, there's a lot of heat comes off that turf. Mm-hmm. So we've been trying to break it up and trying to avoid the afternoons and go in the early mornings and then go in the later in the evenings when it's a little bit cooler. So right now we've just been a lot of conditioning and weightlifting. We're going to be kicking it into full gear here come after this week when we come back from dead week, and we'll have some busy time. We're going up to Hanover College here for 3-day camps, July 13th through the 15th, and then we will be going up to Salem here the week after that for kind of like what used to be the old Jamboree, I call it, where we would have three other schools and we'd play about one quarter with each, do some 11-on-11 scrimmage with them. And so we're going to go up there, and it'll be a good indication of where we are and what going into the season. But there's a lot of stuff you try to cram into a short amount of time here with the summer.
Coach, coming off a sectional championship in 2017, what does the 2018 season look like for the Pioneers? Who's coming back? Whose names are we going to be reading in the headlines each week for Providence?
Well, we're very excited. We're first of all very happy that we had a chance to win a sectional. We hadn't won one for some time at Providence, and we've been close, but it's been a while coming. And so we were excited about that, but now we can't be happy with that and rest on that. We've got to continue to work for it, and the guys have been working hard. And if we stay healthy, and we've got a lot of kids coming back that played last year, significant time for us. So if we stay healthy, we should be pretty decent. Quarterback will be Joe Dennis. He'll be a returning starter for us. He'll be a senior. Joe came out last year as a hadn't played since middle school, and came out and started the first game of his junior year against New Albany, and quite frankly, played like he hadn't played football for several years, throwing him into that fire against New Albany. But he developed throughout the year and played very well for us, and he'll be coming back to lead us and does a good job for us. Hayden Burke will also be backing him up at quarterback as well, but Hayden has started some as well for us, so we feel very confident with him. He started four games as a freshman and has played quite a bit. He's going to be a senior coming back as well, so we feel very confident with both those guys. Obviously, one that everybody will know is Caden Williams. Caden's coming back as a running back, and we'll split him out at receiver as well. But Caden's just a tremendous athlete, and we're expecting great things from Caden this year. And Kevin Smith will also be another running back that people can't really overlook either. Kevin has had a tremendous offseason, been really hitting the weights hard, and really looks good right now. And like I said, he's, I think, going to be another a name that a lot of people will be hearing a lot about. He had some good games for us last year, but I think Kevin's really going to have is on course to have a great season for us. But then you also got James Hoke, who's also helped us, played some running back as well. So we've got three solid seniors right there in the running back position with those guys. Receivers, Bryce Drury is another senior that's a starter returning from last year, as well as Bishop Edwards. Both those guys, Jonah Scott, also started and played quite a bit at receiver, as well as Colin Flake. So those guys will be a big help, having the experience coming back on offense. On the offensive line, we've got quite a few guys, about four guys, that have played quite a bit last year with seniors Nolan McCain and Sam Hudlin and Brandon Bissig all started and played and returning. Also, Lucas Palazzo had started earlier in the year and then had a concussion and then had a knee injury as well. So he was kind of limited, but he was a starter early on in the year. But he'll be coming back now as a senior, and we're hoping to have a good season from him. And then we've got another returning starter at our center. Our junior, Brayton Gettelfinger, will be coming back as well. So if we stay healthy on offense, we hopefully can move the ball and put some points on the board this year. But offensively, we've got quite a bit coming back. Defensively, the same thing. We've got quite a few starters coming back. Nolan McCain will be one of our defensive ends coming back, as well as Hayden Burke. Both Hayden did not really start last year, but came in and played quite a bit at defensive end as well. Sam Hudlin will also probably be playing some D-line. Riley Gunther as well. And we've possibly got some underclassmen, Vincent Benningfield, Henry Jones, might be able to spell us some and give us some depth there on the defensive line. Our linebackers we're excited about. We've got James Hoke, returning starter coming back, who's had a great year offseason as well, and looking forward to having a great year from James, as well as Kevin Smith there. And then Peyton DeLucio is a kid that last year was our defensive MVP, and we played him at nose guard. And we're going to try the transition to move him to middle linebacker and see how that goes. But he's just a really good football player, and we're hoping that the move to middle linebacker will give us a really solid group there at linebacker, but he's also played quite a bit of nose guard for us. So we've got some versatility there with Peyton. Bishop Edwards is another kid that could probably play some linebacker for us, as well as Alec Fougerou and Connor Hazen. So our safeties, Caleb McCubbins is another kid that's played quite a bit for us and started, and really one of our leaders on our defense. He will be there, as well as Caden Williams. Caden will be playing both ways as well. An athlete like him, it's kind of hard not to keep him on the field. But as well as that, you got Jonas Scott and a couple of young kids, Cole Krininger and Jeremy Gettelfinger, also could be helping us there. At our corners, Colin Flake is a returning starter. Bryce Drury will be coming back playing. Chase Aldridge is hopefully going to be coming back from an injury from last year. Another kid that's going to be a junior that we're hoping he can come in and make some big contributions to the team. But overall, those are our kids coming back. Our kicker, all the way, also Brandon Schaefer, is another kid that is he's a senior that's kicked for us for 4 years. You know, handling both the kickoff and the punting duties for us. So, like I said, if we stay healthy and things go well, we continue to work hard, we can make for a good, hopefully a good run in playoffs again, and make another run at another sectional title, and maybe even further.
A really great look at the Pioneers for next season from Larry Dennison, the head coach at Providence. And don't forget, each Thursday, Lee and I will have a different high school football coach on heading into the season, and of course heading into our Zaxby's High School Football Kickoff Show in early August. We'll have more details on that soon. Coach, if I look at your schedule last season, you started 0-3. You went on to win 7 of your next 10 games, ending, of course, against Southridge in the regional round of state tournament play. New Albany on August 17th, your opener. Then you'll go to Floyd Central on the following Friday, August 24th, and then go to Silver Creek the following Friday, August 31st. That's a big way to start the season, to find out where your football team is at. You guys have never backed away from those big challenges to start the season.
No, we haven't. Not being in a conference, we have to take whatever we can. We like to try to play as many of the local rivalry schools as we can, and You know, we've done that. The front part of our schedule is loaded with a lot of the local teams, and then after that, we kind of move around to some other area schools from outside of the area. But yeah, the first three games right off the bat, you know, it's tough when you play a bigger schools like New Albany and Floyd and Silver Creek right off the bat. And last year you mentioned, yeah, we went 0-3, and I said all last season I kept telling people this may be one of the toughest schedules that Providence has ever had to play in its history. When you throw in those teams that we knew were all going to have really good seasons, I mean, Floyd Central went 8-3, and Silver Creek went 9-3 last year, and then the end of the schedule you throw in a Milan that went 9-2 and was returning sectional champion, and Linton Stockton was the defending state champs coming up, moving up to 1A. We had to play them and at their place, and so. And then a Mitchell team that was really, really improved. I think ended up going 8-3 on the season last year. And you throw in a Charlestown team that's another bigger school than us. It's very well coached. And, yeah, it's a tough schedule. And we think that schedule last year helped pay dividends in the end and helped us steer towards the state and the state playoffs. But hopefully the same thing will happen this year.
Coach, almost every day there's an article in a newspaper or online or in some type of sportscast about concussions and about football. And as the head coach beginning his eighth year, which, by the way, I can't believe it's been 8 years, time has really flown by. But what conversations, what questions are you asked as the head coach from parents and other people about that issue?
Well, you're right that that has become a the hot topic of our sport, and rightfully so. A lot of concerns are out there by parents, and we do talk to our parents beforehand, and we talk to them about all the steps that we take to try to prevent any types of injuries. You know, we've buying brand new helmets. We've in the process now of updating our helmets to the Rydell. We're buying Rydells that are all 5-star rated according to Virginia Tech rating scale, and trying to update with new equipment. And we do our testing. We have impact testing with our boys before the season. We get a baseline test that they have to go on to computer and do a test, and if they do have an injury, they have to then be reevaluated with that before they can get cleared and clearance from a doctor. And we, and another thing is just making sure that you're teaching proper techniques, tackling and blocking, and keeping the head out of it as much as possible. A lot of the things that we can kind of do now with some of the drills, we do a lot of our tackling drills without even having helmets on, because we want to make sure that the kids are getting out there tackling dummies, or they're tackling foam rubber rings and things like that, and just teaching different techniques to use that keeps the head out of it and keeps the possibility of coming into having a concussion, keeping that number or minimal as possible. But it is a sport where you're going to have some collisions, and inevitably you will have guys get helmet-to-helmet hits that sometimes are unavoidable, and you just do your best to try to make sure that you don't rush them back too soon, that they're cleared by the medical personnel and everything, and the family feels okay with putting the kid back into the ball game and in that situation.
Larry Dennison, head coach at Providence. His team will get things underway officially August 17th, the home game for the Pioneers. They will take on rival New Albany to start the season. Coach Dennison, thanks for kind of starting things off this summer as we begin to dig into the 2018 season. We look forward to seeing you and some of your key players with us at Zaxby's for the high school football kickoff show. And, of course, we'll be talking to you, I'm sure, between now and the start of the 2018 season.
All right. Well, thanks, Matt. Appreciate you having me on. Anytime you like to have me back, I'd be glad to come back anytime. You know that.
Absolutely. Larry Dennison, coach at Providence. Eighth year for the Pioneers as the boss, but Lee Kelly, he got some good tutelage under a great football mind in Gene Sartini for a number of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Been a solid program and had fine backing from their fans. A good number of kids that came up through the Catholic youth sports and learn football from quality people who put it together. So Good program. Larry's done a great job of continuing that tradition at Providence.
I'm sure that coaches in other sports would argue the statement I'm getting ready to make, but as I followed Providence and the other area teams last season, and Providence obviously able to get past that hurdle of winning a sectional, with how the sectional's set up and how the things are aligned here in the area with different teams, maybe from outside of Clark and Floyd counties that join our locals in sectionals. I'm thinking about, you know, the Columbus East and others, some of the Evansville schools, some of the schools down to the west of us. Winning a sectional in football, that might take the cake in my book as far as the most difficult sport to win a sectional in. And again, I'm sure every coach in every sport would argue that, but you go week to week and just very spread out are the fields as far as mileage between the schools, and so you get just you don't necessarily get local games all the time in sectionals, but very tough, and that was a big accomplishment for the Pioneers last season.
You know, the other thing you have to deal with is weather. You start out 95-degree heat, and you're dealing with heat and humidity and heat indexes, and you finish up trying to stay warm on the sideline with snow and ice and everything else.
Absolutely, Lee. I look forward to reconnecting with you tonight, 7:55 airtime, 8 o'clock first pitch, New Albany versus Floyd's Knobs in the District 5 Little League Softball Championship game. We'll have that. Thanks for being with me as well today, and I'll be back tomorrow on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.